Well, it's good to see those who are back out with us this evening. Hope you have had a good day today. Ended up being a pretty nice day, all in all, I think, compared to several of the days we've had here recently. It wasn't gloomy. Sun was nice. It wasn't too cold. Wasn't too warm. So, just pretty nice day. Tommy and Brenda will also be leaving this week for their trip, so we wish them safe travel on that. Be gone for a few months, right? So, hope they have a good time where it's nice and sunny, hopefully, for them and warm. Only other thing I'll say is, if you can, I encourage you to go to the singing at Franklin this Friday night. Not that I've ever been to Franklin. I know members at Franklin. But because of the reason why we got the invitation, Jesse Gately, that's where he's attending, and that's Brother Hunter's grandson. And he reached out to me and said, I'd like for this to be announced at the group at Rock. It'd be nice to see some of you if y'all can make it down. I'll be out of town, so I won't be able to make it over there. But if you have an opportunity, I encourage you to go this Friday night to Franklin for their singing there at 7 o'clock, I think, on Friday. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Last week, I did a lesson on Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And it was one of those situations of sometimes you just don't have ideas flowing very easily and you borrow a sermon. And in that case, it was a sermon preached many, many years ago. And it seemed to go over well with everyone here. Y'all seemed to enjoy that. So I thought tonight we would do a different one. I want to look just briefly at some proclamations Peter makes to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And look at a little bit of the background of this lesson, not necessarily a sermon in and of its own self, but what Peter ends up doing in speaking to Cornelius and his household in which they are saved is preach Jesus and also make several proclamations about God and Jesus, and that could be called a sermon, even not in a setting such as this. And so that's what we want to do tonight, is we want to look just for a few minutes at Acts chapter 10 and understand the background and what Peter has to say so that we can maybe get something new out of Acts chapter 10. Not that we're going to change any of Peter's message, but rather that we might have a better understanding of what's occurring here and how to apply it into our own lives. And so just real briefly, if you consider what time period we're in, again, like we looked at last week, in Acts chapter 2, who is Peter addressing? Jews. Up through this point, who is Peter addressing? Jews. The gospel has been given to all mankind. Jesus makes that statement very clear in his great commission of his disciples. They're to be sent out into all nations, not only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as was the first commission. Now it's wide open to any who would come to the gospel. But as we know from Peter's background, he has a little bit of a problem taking the gospel to the Gentiles. We see later on in his ministry where Paul will actually have to withstand him to his face for the way in which he treats brethren at different times and in different situations. And so Peter here is reluctant to take the gospel to Gentiles in this chapter. We're going to see some of God's revealing of the true nature in this message. But I want you to consider first and foremost, before we ever look at the message, that this is going to be one of the first times in Scripture we have the gospel preached to someone other than a Jew. And you remember, when we looked at last week's sermon, there was a lot that we could infer they already knew and understood. Why? Well, first and foremost, because several of them were there at Christ's death. They would know who Jesus was. They would have some understanding and some background about God from their perspective. Now, what we have in this passage is we have another man, but this one's a Gentile, but yet in verses 1 and 2, he is called a devout man, a very religious individual. So he too has some religious background. And in verses 3 through 6, you have an angel who appears to him with an announcement that his prayer has been noted by God and is being answered by God with instructions of sending for Peter. In verse 6, the angel tells him, send for Peter, and he will tell you what you must do. In Acts chapter 11, in verse 14, when Peter recounts this, he will say, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved? And so what does Cornelius do in verses 7 and 8? At the very hour that he is told by the angel that there is one who can tell him what he needs to do, he sends for Peter. So what we find out about Cornelius in setting the stage of this message is while he is a Gentile, an outsider in comparison to the old law or under the old law, he is a devout man who believes in God, who has been praying to God, and is genuinely concerned about what he must do. And when he learns that there is an individual who can tell him exactly what he needs to do, he makes no delay about taking care of that situation and calling for Peter. So Cornelius is a very devout, very devoted, very concerned follower of God. Even though he has not obeyed the gospel, he is already showing a need and a concern to be right with God that is of the utmost importance to him, because he is immediately reacting and taking care of this. And so, in verses 9 down through 16, as Peter is on his journey, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, verse 9, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Verse 10, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. Verse 11, and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times and the thing was taken up into heaven. So in verses 9 through 16, you have a vision that Peter is going through. And you see the sheet that's coming down out of heaven, and it's containing all sorts of creatures. And the voice tells him to rise, kill, and eat. And he immediately rebuffs and says, no, I've never touched anything unclean. I have not eaten anything unclean. And God tells, what I have clean, do not call common. And three times this occurs. Now this repetition is important if you consider that God is giving Peter a vision. God is revealing his plan to Peter, and he is repeating it in this way. What's the message? I think we can see it a little clearly. But if you're Peter, and you've gone to pray, and you've gone to sleep, you're kind of not sure what's happening. And in verse 17 it says, now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And so now the Spirit is instructing Peter. As these men have approached, he's concerned. He's not understanding fully what's happened. And the Spirit tells him to go with them. Verse 21, and when Peter went down with the men and said, I am the one you were looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you and to come to his house and hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guest. And the next day he arose and went with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And so Peter receives these men and he takes their word and he goes and now follows them to Cornelius' house. Verse 24, Cornelius has gathered his friends and close family. I want you to notice Cornelius is being evangelistic before ever becoming a Christian. You notice, what was his concern up in the very beginning? Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial to God. Verse 4, now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. This man, Cornelius, has feared God and has given alms to God and is concerned about what is needed to be done for the cause of God. And when an angel tells him that there is one who can tell him what he needs to do, there's one that he is to send for, as he is making preparation and sending for Peter, he is also making preparation for his family and his friends to hear whatever message this is going to be. Peter is wanting others to come, or excuse me, Cornelius is wanting others to come and listen to what is going to be said. Verses 25 and 26, when Cornelius attempts to worship him, Peter stops him. And in verses 27 and 28, he says, I should not call any man common or unclean. Verses 27 and 28, when he talked with them, he went in and he found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. The God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. Peter is going against his own nature for the cause of God. This is something that was probably a struggle for Peter in many ways. But he's doing it for the sake of God. And verses 30 through 32, Cornelius now tells us, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in the house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging at the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. I sent for you to come and tell us what God commands. I sent for you to come and tell us what God and what Christ, what the Lord has to say to us. And I want you to notice now, so this is our background, three things that Peter proclaims. Very simply. Number one, he proclaims God, verses 34 and 35. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is accepted by him. He begins with the full idea that God shows no partiality. It doesn't matter what nation you are from. It doesn't matter what background you have, what your bank account balance is, how much land you own, where it is you call home. None of that matters in the eyes of God. God is seeking those who would follow Him. God is seeking those who would do what is right. And this perception that Peter has here started in the vision. When God showed him the sheet full of animals, told him to rise, kill, and eat, he says, I've never touched anything unclean. And God says, what I have cleaned, do not call common. God is not showing partiality to individuals of different nations. God is concerned and cares about everyone. And this is a perception that would continue when the Spirit instructed him to go with messengers, and he makes that clear, that this is uncommon for him and is really unlawful in regards to the old law. In regards to what man would say, makes that point. Back just a couple paragraphs ago, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. And rather, Peter now understands that God has called him to speak the message to even those who would be considered prior to this unclean. Common. Verses 44 through 47, drop down there for just a minute. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who had heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was being poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" His perception that God is showing no partiality is confirmed when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given even to Gentiles. And so Peter starts out by proclaiming God and who He is. Brethren, the fact of the matter is, no matter what past you have, no matter what demographic pool you reside in, God is looking for you if you would serve Him. And all the people around us, no matter their background, the fact that they are living and breathing and have a soul means God wants them to be saved. They could be as opposite from us as possible, and God is still searching for them if they would fear Him and serve Him. God cares for all mankind. The world will twist that and say we serve a God that does not care. Rather, we serve a God that cares more than this world ever could or would. Peter starts with proclaiming the very nature of God. And secondly, he proclaims God, and then he proclaims Christ. Coming back up, verses 36 through 38. "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Christ Jesus, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Peter proclaims now Jesus. Jesus as one who has been anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power. What do we call the anointed one? The Messiah. The Christ. The King. Peter's points are very similar to what he says on the day of Pentecost. And so he is proclaiming who Jesus of Nazareth was and is. He proclaims his ministry. He teaches Cornelius and says, "You know what took place in this region." You remember when you looked at the Matthew studies with us? And we saw this great light that dawned from the land of Naphtali and Zebulun. And it went out, and people from all these different regions came and were blessed. And in chapter 8 of Matthew, we come upon a person who knows who Jesus is when he first enters the city. Anyone remember what office that individual had? He was a Roman centurion. What is Cornelius? A centurion. The centurions know about Jesus. His story has been spread among them. They know his power. They know his ability. They know from the Roman guards what has taken place at the tomb, whether it be the bride's story or the true story. Christ's story is known to the people of this area. Christ's story is known even amongst the Gentiles. And we see that being built in the gospel message. And now Peter's confirming it. You yourselves know what took place. You know who Christ is. And I'm telling you, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power by God. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. That is our King. Peter's proclaiming who Christ is to Cornelius and those that are assembled there. They need to understand verses 39 through 41. And we are witnesses of all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Peter takes it a step further. He proclaims Jesus and what God has made him. And then he says, and they killed him. They put him to death. Looking very similar to our lesson last week, right? They killed him. They put him to death. But God rose him from the dead. He was not made to stay there. What did he say last week when we looked at Acts chapter 2? His flesh did not see corruption. He did not decay. He arose from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. We saw him alive again. We ate and drank with him. Can a spirit eat or drink? He's talking about a bodily resurrection here. Christ Jesus' body arose from the dead and lived again among men. And we are witnesses of this. It's the same message presented a little bit different from last week. Why? Well, because Cornelius and his cohorts are not the ones that put him on a cross. But the message is still the same. Christ Jesus died, was buried, and arose. And we are witnesses of this. We have knowledge of this. And he goes further then in verse 42. So he has shown the nature of Christ. He has shown the story of Christ. And in verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. He goes further and he says that we have been told to preach about him, to testify about him, and that he is going to judge the living and the dead. There's a day coming in which all will be judged, Peter's message here. And this anointed one, endued with Holy Spirit and with power, this anointed one who died on a cross, was buried and arose, is the one who will judge on that day. But verse 43, he gives them the hook, if you will. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. He gives them the hook now. But through him, there is the remission of sins. Here you go, Cornelius. God is not partial to any man. God is seeking those who would follow him. And he sent his son, Jesus. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He established him. You know, we looked last week that God showed his approval of who Christ was, that he attested to who Christ was. And this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was put to death on a cross, died, was buried, and arose, and is going to judge those who are alive and those who are dead. But through him, there is the remission of sins. Through him, there is forgiveness. Through him, there is salvation. He proclaims who Christ is. He's proclaimed who God is. Now he's proclaimed who Christ is. What Christ is continuing to offer. We have to be careful sometimes not to talk about Christ in the past tense. I have to be careful of this myself. Yes, these events happened 2,000 years ago. But Christ is still offering forgiveness of sins today. That has not changed. The blood has not run out. There is not only a limited number of spots left to be atoned for. Christ is still forgiving sins today, providing
a blank slate through his blood.
And I want you to thirdly notice that after he has proclaimed who Christ is, after he's proclaimed who God is, then he proclaims baptism. He proclaims the baptism that is needed. Verses 44 through 46, we've already read, and we see that the Spirit has fallen upon Cornelius and those that are in his household, his friends and his family. And what this purpose is it's showing Peter and his companions that the gospel is for the Gentiles, that the gifts of the Spirit are for the Gentiles. And notice verse 47 again. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter then makes the commandment that they be baptized for the remission of their sin. Remission of your sins part is inferred by what we've just looked at. How many religious discussions do we have with non-Christians about baptism? It seems to be in the denominational world the number one topic others want to discuss with us. Because of our belief about baptism being essential for salvation. Peter proclaimed God and who he was and he is. Jesus and who he was and he is. And then proclaimed baptism. We're skipping so much of the story if we're going straight to baptism. We're skipping the actual story. Do I believe baptism for the remission of sins is essential for salvation? Yes, I do. Do I believe it is the first conversation we need to have with a non-believer? No, I do not. Baptism is for those that have been taught the gospel. And that's where we need to start. Is teaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Why didn't Peter start with baptism? Cornelius is a devout man. I think we all have friends and denominations that we would call devout. I know I have several. He's a devout man. He believes in God. Why not just go ahead and have the discussion about baptism? Because the important part is to first understand the nature of God and the nature of Christ. And who it is and the sacrifice that was made. Before we can then get to the point of understanding our needed response to such a message. When you look in the gospel story, and when I say the gospel story, the gospel story, I don't mean Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean the times throughout the New Testament that the gospel is preached. You have teaching and then baptism. Yes, baptism occurs in every instance of salvation in the book of Acts. You know, we've for years taught the five steps to salvation. And how they can be seen throughout the book of Acts. And the only one of the five steps that appears in every single instance is baptism. Ever heard that sermon? I've heard it many times, so I imagine you have as well. What's amazing to me is how many times we miss what was taught before that. There are souls that are in need in Acts chapter 10. And they first need to know who God is, who Jesus is, and then they need to know what to do. There are souls who are in need of the remission of their sins in Dixon County. And they first need to know who God is, who Christ is, and then need to know the response. Peter's sermon is very simple. He proclaims who God is. He proclaims who Jesus is. He proclaims what is needed to be baptized. And you notice it's pretty evident in verse 48, although it is not explicitly said, that Cornelius and his household obey. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked him to remain for some days. In chapter 11, he will go through and he will recount this story about how the gospel is for the Gentiles as well. Cornelius and his household were those who were looking for God. And it's a very simple message that is preached. Peter doesn't talk about religious holidays. Peter doesn't talk about the Lord's Supper. All needed topics. What Cornelius and his household need at that moment, who God is, who Jesus is, and how do you respond accordingly? Again, I'll say what I said last week. Sometimes we need to get back to good gospel preaching. And that being the good news of Jesus of Nazareth. Things for us to consider. The gospel, as we see it, is very plainly this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man that came down to earth, was born of a virgin, lived among men, showed many signs, many miracles, many wonders, showed the power of God here on earth. He had power over time, power over space, power over elements, power over death, power over sickness. All power that Peter has just said has been endued by God. He lived among men, was betrayed by one of his own followers, after many attempts of the leaders to trick him and trap him. But yet he was betrayed. And he went willingly like a lamb to the slaughter. They put him on a cross where he died for those of us gathered here tonight, those who should be gathered here tonight, and those this entire world over that have ever been and ever will be. But yet though he died and was buried, he arose, was seen by more than 500 individuals, and ascended back into heaven. And as Peter has said, one day we'll judge all the living and all the dead. And we'll know when that day will be, because he's coming again. And the question is, when he comes to judge this world, how do you want your verdict to read? That's the gospel message in a nutshell. And so tonight, if you're here and you have wandered away from God, been away from Him for so long, whether it be a little time or a long time, God is waiting for you. Just as the Father waited for His prodigal Son to return, He waits for you. And if you're here tonight and you need to come to Him and be His child, He shows no partiality. Regardless of any background you have, He's looking for you. And so tonight, if you would serve Him, if we can help you in your service to Him, won't you let it be made known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.